It's finally Rams game time. Here we are. Thought the game was, thought we were going to start this Steve Addazio era off a week ago. But no, not there yet. But today, dropped all my papers. Today, the Colorado State Rams are tonight, 8 o'clock. Going to stay up late, Colfax. We're going to watch Colorado State take on the Fresno State Bulldogs. It's going to be a fun show today. We'll have Kelly Lyle, per usual, on with us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, talking all things CSU, and really what to expect. Because, you know, Colfax, we got some news, and I'll get to that in a moment. We're also going to talk to the voice, the play-by-play voice for the Fresno State Bulldogs, Paul Leffler, who is incredible at his job, and we're excited to bring him on the program to break down the Bulldogs. They lost to Hawaii last week, and the score, pretty rough, but I think the tale of that game was the fact that Fresno State's run defense was absolutely awful, especially guarding, defending the quarterback. So you got to wonder how this is going to work out. Addazio's kind of known for running the ball, but there's also a lot of unknowns with this offense and, you know, with Marcus McElroy probably being the guy, but then we've also heard it's going to be more of a running back by committee type situation. It should be interesting. I don't know what to expect. I've had people ask me, do I touch this game? Do I bet on this game one way or the other? I would stay as far away from this thing as humanly possible. I would watch tonight as a fan only because I don't know. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is up. Let me ask you, Rams fans, I want to know. Do you expect a winning season in 2020? Now, obviously, one game is out, so this works because you're not going to have, you know, a break-even type year. You're either going to have a winning season or a losing season. Seven games on the schedule, unless there's another one canceled. Do you expect a winning season? I'm very curious to see what you actually think. Or is this COVID year? It's Addazio. It's new. Or your expectations are just, you know what, I just want to watch this team and see what happens. 55.56% of the hooligans say, I expect this team to win. I expect them to have a winning season this year. So at the very least, they go 4-3. First Advantage text line 31996 and Colfax. Just like that, we have our big story of the day. And as we kind of thought, the Colorado State Rams have named Todd Sentio the starting quarterback for the Rams tonight. He's a transfer from Temple. He appeared in 24 games for the Owls over two seasons. He rushed. Now, here's what's interesting. He ran for 71 times for 235 yards and a touchdown. Completed 48 of 71 passes for 613 yards, seven touchdowns, and one interception. He was three-star recruit as a dual-threat quarterback. Seeing how Hawaii's quarterback ran all over the place last week, had 116 yards, does this play into that decision, or is it more that O'Brien missed some time, Patrick O'Brien missed some time going in, or just kind of a mixture of those two, plus, you know, New system. I mean, everybody says the same thing. New system. Everybody's new to a new coach. You know, there's no film. There's film, but there isn't film. You know, pay no attention to the past, but at the same time, pay attention to the past. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. I want to get to all that later on. A lot of Rams talk for you as they get set to take on Fresno State tonight, 8 o'clock. I'm excited to just watch this and learn a little bit more about what this offense is going to be. I mean, we know some of the returning stars from last year, but we don't really know how they're going to be utilized. I know E.J. Scott and Nate Craig Myers talked about it before when Coach Addazio got there, hey, saying they were a little concerned because there's not typically a lot of passing in a Steve Addazio offense, at least what we saw with Boston College. And it's not like Air Force or anything. I mean, they're still going to throw the ball, but they're going to run it a lot more than they are going to pass. So very curious to see how this works out and what kind of team and can the Rams take advantage of a Swiss cheese type defense that Fresno State has. So that's an interesting look from that Fresno State scheme too. 4-2-5. They got the Husky position More of a, I guess, a more of a defensive back, linebacker, hybrid type guy. I like innovative positions in defense, man. I think for the longest time, we just kind of went status quo. And, you know, is most of the time is the 4-3 or the 3-4. And then you started to just see more athletic linebackers, more athletic linemen, tougher defensive backs. So you can kind of merge the two. So very interested to see it. You've seen it with CSU on the defensive side as well with Chuck Heater, the Fox position. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I don't know if it's always going to work out, but it's interesting. It's interesting. So I'll be curious to see how this works with the Bulldogs tonight. Drew Locke, Colfax, my friend. He talked to the media yesterday. Now, this wouldn't you say this has been the most critical we've been collectively as Broncos country of Drew Locke this past week? I mean, you may not have been on, you know, on the Drew Locke bandwagon, but you certainly were waiting it out to see. But I think more people now are skeptical of Drew Locke. He was asked about the critics and everybody kind of knocking his play a little bit. Here's what he had to say.
You play quarterback, you're going to get criticized regardless. I've been criticized plenty of times at the good old University of Missouri. It just is what it is. That's what we signed up to do, but this is also what we love to do. Part of the time is people that criticize couldn't be out here doing what we do anyways. So it's a funny thing, but you know, they're analytics people, they'll look at it. And sometimes the analytics are true. Can't deny that. But most of the time, the people that can't be out here doing it.
Okay, first off, I'm not really an analytical guy. I don't really bust into that too much. But I've always kind of struggled with this. Listen, I never played college football. I never played pro football, if that's tough for you to believe. I've never liked it. I've never liked it. Now, I'll say this. When I watch high school football, when I watch college football, or I'm listening to broadcasters, yeah, I like to have the color commentator have played the sport that I'm watching. Whether that's the preps game, if I'm watching a college game, then I love hearing the color commentator do prep stuff. You know, or excuse me, had played before. NFL, yeah, I like to know that because you get all the insides, you know, you get the idea of what's going on in the locker room, what's going on in this position, what's going on with the staff. I like that. Now, to be critical of Drew Locke, to be critical of the Broncos and somehow say that that's not as okay because you didn't play the game, I don't like that. Does Drew Locke, does he come across as a little, I mean, last year we said he's got an edge to him. You know, he's doing the dribble between the legs, he shoots it, he does the Buzz Lightyear stuff. Is it a little cocky right now? Or do you kind of want that? Listen, I don't even know if I want to hear that from Aaron Rodgers at this point. I don't want to hear the, you know, hey, none of you guys can do what I do, so you can't be critical. Criticism, Colfax, is what makes the world go round. It's what we debate. It's what we do. We do movie reviews in the summer because we didn't have crap to talk about. Neither one of us can act or direct or write a screenplay.
Never tried.
Well, yeah. I mean, but if you knew it deep down in your heart, you'd be in Hollywood right now making millions of dollars.
True.
I mean, there's something there. But yet we can criticize these movies. You know, we criticize it. Give them ratings. Rate them. We criticize the president. We criticize politicians. We criticize coaches and teachers and everything. Yet we don't do it. Criticism, you know, you try to be fair with it, is what makes the world go round. So a better response to that would have been to leave that portion out. I mean, he kind of got it later. I don't really like that. Greenacre says, wait, the star of the Nature Minute didn't play professional football. I did not. Believe it or not, you know, freak injury that kept me. No, I wish that was the reason, right? No, I played high school football. That's about it. Never a real shot to play at the next level. And I'm okay with that. But I don't think we have to all be, you know, I don't think Greenacres, I don't think you have, I don't know if you did or not, but you don't have to have had played for the Colorado State Rams to have an opinion and to be vocal about that opinion. Those opinions and that noise that we all create, myself included, is what makes this game larger than life. It's all of our opinions that make these sports generate the ratings that they do. And I guarantee you this, most of it's not puppies and kittens. We're not just always saying, gee golly, I'm excited for the ball game tonight. I don't care who wins, just as long as football happens. No, guarantee you if the Rams get worked tonight, Rams fans are pissed, wondering if this is the right move, even though it's only game one. Guarantee it. That's how it goes down. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. So you gotta be okay with it. Melvin Gordon, on the other hand, very apologetic about the DUI. He was. I mean, this is kind of the first time we've really broken into hearing him talk about that, and he's been very apologetic about the fumbles. Now, I'm not saying that cures it. If he keeps fumbling, he's going to lose time. But he's at least talking about it and addressing it, and he says, listen, nobody feels worse about the fumbles than I do. I'm the guy that's creating them. I'm just trying to do too much. I want to make a big play. It's very important to me, and I've just got to calm down. At least he's calling it out. Now, again, he's got to fix it. And when better to fix that than against his old team that threw him to the curb, man? They tossed him away against the coming up against this Chargers team. So I'm looking for a highly motivated Melvin Gordon this weekend. First Advantage text line 31996. 31996 A1 Organics. I'll tell you about them. They deliver in bulk or you can pick up at their retail center in Eaton. They load for free. Turf top dressing is here as well. They can deliver your STA certified compost to any location in Greeley, Windsor, Eaton, Severance, Alt, etc. Call for competitive pricing. That's A1 Organics. Their number is 970-454-3492. Power to Play sports poll question for you Rams fans. Do you expect a winning season? Meaning you're let down if they do not. It would be a letdown. Or are you viewing this season as it's COVID, it's new coach, we lost a few guys, I just kind of want to get to know what this team's going to be. What are your expectations? 17 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's get more into that on the Rams side of things. What to expect from Fresno State. Will they bounce back after a rough game last week against Hawaii? Kelly Lyle joins me later on. Also, the voice of Fresno State, Paul Leffler, will join us in the second hour. So a lot of preview for a big one tonight. I am very excited about this one. You got NFL, too. But I think locally, the Rams should easily win this ratings competition between Atlanta and Carolina. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
A company always on the run.
Fresco Painters of South Platte, they're going to hook you guys up. Lucky listeners here. If you call Fresco Painters of South Platte, just tell them you heard about them here on the whole show, and you will get a free cooler and a free painting quote as well. So that's a free mini cooler go along with that. Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte, of course, they are the official sponsor of Top Text Tuesday, and we've got a great competition going on for that Denver Nuggets gift package. A couple of guys might be able to win this thing. We'll see, but you know, maybe next week we got two guys that could walk away with this bad boy. First Advantage text line 31996 31996. McLean says, will we ever get to see Gordon or Lindsey for a full game? Yeah, Lindsey didn't practice yesterday. And I would just imagine the further we get into the week, it's going to be a no-go for him. So, yeah, I don't know. And every time we've seen it, it's been pretty good. Now, I know Lindsey kind of took the show last week, or stole the show last week in that first half, but Gordon still had about 70 yards rush on about 13 carries or so. So I think there's a need for both of them at this stage. And, you know, again, I never really liked the idea of giving Gordon all that money and then Lindsey still nothing, no reward or anything like that. Unless there was a conversation had with Elway and Lindsey, like, hey, this year, get through it and we're going to take care of you. And maybe that happened. If it did, then I really don't have an issue. Lindsey and Gordon, nowadays, it seems like, other than maybe a few teams, it is kind of a running back by committee, but there's no reason it can't be Philip Lindsay's team and then Gordon's coming in, because you don't want Lindsey carrying it 22, 23 times a game. You know, I love a running back that can carry it that many times. That's very rare to see that now. But you especially can't have it with Lindsey. He has a history of injuries. The size is an issue if you're carrying it that much. So, no, I have no problem with Gordon. You did upgrade the depth. You did. It is an upgrade. Again, as long as those conversations were had with Lindsey beforehand, which I don't know that they were, but that's my biggest beef with the whole deal. Not the actual depth chart itself, because it did improve. First Advantage text line 31996. This is a big one for Melvin Gordon, though. You know, he's looking at this game. This was the team. The Chargers were the team. They moved on from him. A first-round draft pick a few years ago. And they decided to move on for the undrafted local guy, who is now out for the season, by the way, but Austin Ekeler. So, I mean, Gordon's got to be looking at this as this is when you want to have a monster game against the team that gave up on you. Not the team that you chose away from necessarily, but they gave up on Gordon. Now, again, Gordon went on a holdout last year before the season started with the Chargers, and that whole thing kind of started. So they knew it was going to end at some point. Gordon's also in a little, not really hot water, but he said, normally I start to turn it up week 7, week 8. You know, and of course, Broncos country on the negative side of that. Like, where was it before? But you know what? Sometimes you see that. You see that with teams, especially in this situation. You see that with players. They might start, you know, they get a little bit better as the season progresses. There are guys that do that. There are guys that do that in the playoffs. They're okay in the regular season. Something about the playoffs brings out the best in them. So, hey, if he can bring that now, and week 8 is a huge week for the Broncos, and they can get win number 3, then you know what? Let's just go. Let's take care of the Chargers. It is the battle of the basement dwellers in the AFC West. And Justin Turner was just named the rookie of the month, by the way. Derrick Henry was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Tom Brady was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. How about that? You know, this is why a 16-week or a 16-game schedule, there's so many storylines that progress just in a couple of weeks. What was the narrative in the first 2 weeks for Brady? Oh, this is it. He's just going to be whatever. Luckily, they have a good defense. They're not going to be that good. And then suddenly, they have that blow-up. Brady was very upset in that Chicago game. And suddenly, things are clicking again for Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady's playing lights out. So, yeah, it's amazing how things can change throughout the course of a season. We'll see what happens tonight, though, between CSU and Fresno State. What do you expect from this one? Fresno State has a game under their belt. Some view that as, oh, well, that's going to give Fresno State the advantage because they have a game under their belt. But as Steve Adazio has said, as others Fresno State fans have even said, yeah, but they're on a quick turnaround. They played Saturday, and they're right back at it on a Thursday. So, you know, there could be a little bit of advantage for both sides. CSU, yeah, that could also bode well for Fresno State. They haven't seen anything of this new Steve Adazio team. There's no tape. There's no film out yet. CSU has some film. They have Fresno State Hawaii tape. So I can see it on both sides. I don't know if that's really going to be the difference maker here, but the Rams are a favorite tonight. You know, just two and a half last time I checked. And again, I'm staying away from that. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know enough about CSU. I know it feels like people were a little shocked that Fresno State got worked the way they did against Hawaii, especially because Hawaii ran the ball so well. I mean, they were all over the place, and their quarterback especially. Cordeo ran for 116 yards. Miles Reed had 21 carries for 109 yards. As a team, they ran for 325 yards. They were averaging 6.1 yards a carry. So if you're CSU and you've got all these new offensive linemen, three of them transfers from Boston College, you should be licking your chops. You know, and then Marcus McElroy, he's a guy that came in last year, about 400 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. He's got to be looking at this as a big opportunity. Christian Hunter, who I'm excited to see more of. Kiwan Hernan, I mean, he's a freshman, I mean, young guy. But we're going to see a lot of running backs tonight, I'm sure. I don't think you're just going to see two guys. One guy carry the load, and then another guy gets a few carries here and there. You're going to see a few running backs for Colorado State tonight. Now, Adazio said he's going to go with the hot hand, but we'll see. I'm very curious to see what this team's all about. 30 minutes after the hour, we'll talk to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado when we come back. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Jordan Davis from the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, getting set for the first game in the Steve Adazio era. Colorado State, Fresno State coming up at 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, on to chat with us. Well, Kelly, I don't know what to expect from, I don't really know what to expect from Fresno State, to be honest, because how much can you take from that first game with any football game anymore? But CSU certainly have no clue. But Todd Sentio named the starting quarterback for Colorado State. Talk to us more about that decision, what went into that decision, and do we expect to see Patrick O'Brien at all tonight?
You know, that's a good question on whether or not we'll see Patrick O'Brien or not. I had a hunch all along that Todd Sentio was going to be the starter, partly just because Steve Adazio wasn't saying. He said it was a competition, this and that. If it was going to be Patrick O'Brien, I think he would have just said it straight out, because Patrick O'Brien was the guy who started, you know, most of last season after Colin Hill got hurt. He was the returnee. Todd Sentio's the unknown quantity. But I think that everything I've seen about what Steve Adazio wants in an offense, what Joey Lynch, the offensive coordinator, they want a quarterback who's got some good mobility, who can be both a dual threat guy. Yes, he's not going to run the ball a lot, but they want a guy that when they need to pick up 2 or 3 yards, they can have a quarterback run, do a, you know, an RPO, a read pass option outside on the edge and things. And that's not Patrick O'Brien's strengths. And Todd Sentio, that is one of the things he does well. I'm told. I haven't gotten to see the guy because we haven't been able to attend any practices or scrimmages or any of those things. So I only know what people have told me about him. But from what I understand, he's done well. From what player, you know, Marcus McElroy, we talked to him earlier this week. He said both quarterbacks have been really good leaders when they've been in there with the first offense. He said he has plenty of confidence in either one of those two. And so I think we'll kind of see where it goes. And then adding to it, we know that Patrick O'Brien missed a quote fair amount of practice time, end quote, is how Steve Adazio phrased it, because of COVID issues. Whether he had COVID himself or whether he was quarantined because he had been in close contact, we don't know that. But he missed some substantial time as they were trying to get ready for this first game, as they were still kind of nailing down this new offense, really for their first time as full team workouts since spring drills. And I think that was probably a factor in this decision as well.
Yeah, Kelly, I read your story in the Colorado, and that was that, along with Coach Adazio flat out naming Patrick O'Brien the quarterback. That was kind of, I would read between the lines a little bit, and so I wasn't that shocked to hear the news because of your story, just kind of talking about the fact that O'Brien missed some time. And I guess, have you talked to Patrick O'Brien? I don't even know how that works lately. I know there's the Zoom meetings and all that for chosen players and coaches, but I'm just curious how O'Brien's doing, because it seemed like, following him on Twitter, he had some pretty high expectations for this season.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't allowed us to talk to either of the quarterbacks. The only players we've been able to really talk to at all since July have been, was this week, Marcus McElroy and Cam Reddy on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we talked to two defensive players, Daquan Jackson and Logan Stewart. So other than that, we haven't had a chance. Normally, you know, we would have much more opportunity to be talking to these players. We'd be seeing what's going on in practice. And, you know, it's a whole new world. I mean, Kevin Lytle and I have never covered a college football game from TV like we're going to be doing tonight. That's a whole new thing, too. Yes, we'll have some post-game news conferences on Zoom and chances to ask questions and things like that, but we're not in Fresno, which we were for last year's game, and which I've been for all but one CSU game since 2008. I've been on site. There was one I missed a couple years back at Boise State so I could go to the Big 12 meetings in Dallas in case they did extend an invitation to Colorado State at the time. So on that one, Matt Stevens and I at the time split up. He went to the game in Boise. I watched it from a hotel room in Dallas.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's an interesting time for sure, and even just how the coverage is being done for this team for Colorado State, and of course Fresno State too. We're going to bring on Paul Leffler in the second hour as well, kind of get his perspective from the Bulldog side of things. But what do you expect from this team, Kelly? Knowing what you know, and a lot of us are kind of guessing, but you see Fresno absolutely get torched on the ground by Hawaii last week. You know that Adazio's kind of a run guy, and then bringing in all these Boston College offensive linemen, you got to think Colorado State's going to be heavy on the run game tonight.
I think much heavier than we've seen a Colorado State team in quite some time. Certainly, you know, Mike Bobo realized he, first of all, as a coach, he liked to air it out, and then that's where a lot of his talent was. So he aired it out even more than normal. Same thing with Jim McElwain. You know, they had some pretty good talent in the receiver positions. They had quarterback that they felt could throw the ball. And that goes back quite a ways. I mean, even Steve Fairchild tried to throw the ball a fair amount. I don't think we're going to have – I think the general plan of this team is going to be about 60 to 70% run and pass, you know, 30% of the time or so, maybe 35. And I think when they do pass, we're going to see a heavy dose of certainly they're going to find ways to use Dante Wright in both the run and pass game. He's too valuable, has too much talent for them to just say, we're only going to use him when we throw to a slot receiver. You're going to see him get some reverses. You might even see him line up in the backfield to get some carries. We'll see how that goes. And then I think we're going to see a fair amount of passing to the tight ends, too, because they really like what they've got in Trey McBride. And I'm certain they're going to find ways to get him the ball as often as they can. So they're not going to be exclusively run, but I think it's going to be a lot more of a run-oriented offense than Colorado State fans have seen in a number of years. I hearken it to, I think it might look a little bit more like what we see, an hour north and are going to see a heavy dose of next week with how Craig Bull's Wyoming teams operate. I think this offense is probably going to be a little bit more along those lines, a little more conservative, a little more we're just going to try to out-tough you and run the ball down your throat. And, of course, if that doesn't work, then you got to go to the air. So we'll just see how it goes.
Kelly, all that being said, now, Dante Wright's a ridiculous talent. We're excited to see what Nate Craig Myers can do. But for the long run, I mean, are we done with that whole wide receiver U thing for Colorado State? We've been producing so many great receivers over the past few years. If this continues to morph into more of a run-styled offense, one of the cool things that the Rams could hang their hats on was wide receiver U. Do you think those days are numbered?
You know, they could be. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of how Steve Adazio is going to run things. He does have a history of when he's had a good passing game, he's not afraid to pass the ball. But I think he's still more a situational passer, a little less we're just going to air it out, you know, a lot. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of, unless they're playing from behind, a whole lot of three passes on, first down, second down, third down, we're throwing every down. We saw that a fair amount under Jim McElwain, under Mike Bobo. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of that under Steve Adazio unless they're playing from behind and in desperation mode. I think that as long as they feel they're in the game, it's a close game, or they're controlling the game, I think we're going to see a lot more of run three out of every four plays type of offense.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, how about the defensive side of the ball? Are we looking at more of a 4-3 style, or does that even matter anymore? Teams kind of run a 4-3, then they'll shift to 3-4. A lot of nickel. You're seeing the NFL especially is going nickel and dime a lot more. What do you see for this defense as far as schematics?
Well, again, having not had a chance to really watch them since spring, and even then, we only got to see very limited individual drills. We never got to actually see the full team line up. But the differences these days between a 4-3 and a 3-4 are not very significant. It's a matter of whether that one of those ends, outside linebackers, depending on what you're calling him, whether he's got his hand on the ground or standing, they tend to line up in kind of the same spot anyway off the tackle. So it'll be interesting, but the thing that, at least talking to DaQuan Jackson and Logan Stewart, that we heard repeatedly this week on Tuesday, is that this is going to be more of an aggressive attacking defense, and we really haven't seen that. That was Tyson Summers was CSU's defensive coordinator in Mike Bobo's first season, they were that way. There was a lot more. It's a little more of a gambling. You're going to get burned sometimes, but a lot more blitzing, a lot more disguising coverages, a lot more let's go after the offense. Let's try to guess, frankly, what they're going to do and go stop them from doing it, as opposed to let's sit back and read and react to what they do. And I think, at least with the current talent level that Colorado State's defense has, that's probably a better way to go. You don't have to be quite as good. I think if you have Alabama-level talent, you can probably do the read and react a lot better. But I think you have to have superior talent to the offense of the team you're playing to be able to really be successful that way. And in recent years, Colorado State's defense hasn't necessarily had superior talent to the opposing offenses. So I think the attacking mode works if you're kind of equal athletic ability, or maybe even if you have a little bit of a deficit, it's a better approach. Again, though, then it puts a lot more pressure on the D coordinator to be making the right calls, because you are going to get burned sometimes if you just completely blow it.
Yeah, no question about it. High risk, high reward. But, you know, Kelly, you know this better than I. I would imagine some Rams fans would be kind of excited about that. You know, for the longest time, it kind of seems like this defense is in the, you know, bend but don't break. And a lot of times they break. And the defense has struggled mightily over the last few seasons. Maybe Rams fans are just ready. You know what? If we're going to struggle early on in this, underneath this new system, this new coach, let's go after them, see if we can come up with some big plays.
Yeah, I think people would rather see kind of a go for broke mentality out of this defense than certainly what we've been seeing in recent years. And again, there's a time and a place for those bend don't break defenses.
Sure.
I mean, Sonny Lubick won a whole bunch of conference championships with defenses that at times were that way, but he also had a lot more talent on his defenses. You go back and look at those rosters, and I still shake my head sometimes when I realize, boy, all those guys were on the same defense in the same season. You know, that's just amazing. You look at some of those secondaries. I mean, you know, we've got a Thorpe Award winner that was not necessarily the best DB on his own team because Ray Jackson was back there with him. I mean, you had great D linemen at the time. You had some great linebackers. And so I don't think Colorado State has had that level of defensive talent for a number of years now. Certainly there's been individual players, Shaq Barrett, obviously, and others. But to have that level of talent across your defense to be able to kind of play that bend but don't break mentality, I think the gambling and let's go after the quarterback, let's get some sacks, let's force some turnovers, let's disrupt the offense and keep them from doing what they want to do rather than watching what they want to do and then figuring out how we're going to stop it while they're doing it.
And as far as those stars, you know, on the defensive side, you're always looking at games like this. You know, you want to see your stars get off to an early start, help create things as everyone else is trying to learn things on the fly, so to speak. Manny Jones, certainly one of those names that sticks out. As you mentioned, Logan Stewart, DaQuan Jackson. Collectively, though, when you look at this defense, and again, not knowing a whole lot about the situation, can we say stars? Is there star power on this defense other than maybe a Manny Jones?
You know, I don't think there is. And maybe there's some guys. There are some guys with potential to develop into stars on this defense. I think Rashad Ajayi might have that chance in the secondary. You know, he's going to be a three-year starter now. I think there, you know, you've got the defensive end, I'm forgetting his name, transfer from Miami. There are some good players, Manny Jones, Emmanuel Hubbard, guys like that. There are some guys that have shown the potential to develop into that. DaQuan Jackson, maybe he's a little bit undersized for how they're using him, but he's shown the ability to maybe play a little bit bigger than he is. And so we'll see how that works. I mean, that worked fine for Ricky Brewer and guys like that. So maybe DaQuan Jackson will be one of those types of guys. But I don't see the level or the overall talent level that we saw in those great Sonny Lubick defenses when the Rams were really, really coming into national prominence in the 90s and into 2000.
Kelly, the Rams, I believe, last time I checked, are a favorite by, 2.5 points. What do you got any predictions? You got any thoughts? Do the Rams start the season 1-0?
You know, I think they probably do, but I think it's going to be a real nail-biter kind of game. I think it's probably going to be decided in the final few minutes by a score or a field goal or a stop. I think it's going to be a fairly tight game, and I'd be surprised if either team wins by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, well, it should be. I'm excited just to see both teams on the field. I'm excited to see what the Rams can put out there, at least for game one, and then we'll break it all down next week. Kelly, appreciate you as always, my friend. I know we can follow you on Twitter and check out the Colorado, and you guys will have all of our pre- and post-game coverage.
We will. We'll be covering it as best we can without being there in person, but we're going to be paying very close attention and be available, be there to talk to everybody afterwards about why they did what they did and why they didn't do what they didn't do.
Appreciate it as always, man, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care.
All right, that's Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Yeah, that's the thing. On defense, you know, there's names that kind of stick out to you, but you, in games like this, when it's a new system, a new scheme, you do rely on raw talent. You rely on your most talented guys to be able to make up for maybe kind of a lack of knowledge, just because, you know, you haven't done it a whole lot. You know, spring ball, they got a little bit of that in last year, but for the most part, it's been very difficult, and it's been plug and play. Guys have missed time. You know, Coach Adazio, what did he say last week? And he... somewhere in practice, sometimes we can have anywhere from 15 to 20 guys that are not there. So you wonder how much that has slowed the progress down. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. More on Colorado State throughout the day today. A big one coming up. The Rockies made a decision yesterday. We'll talk about that. Also, don't forget, we'll have the voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs, Paul Leffler, on the program to talk about the game from a Bulldogs perspective. We'll be right back.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Knutson, WoodyPage.com and Rockies Rundown. You've made it to the bigs because you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's sports station.
Five minutes until the top of the hour. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here today on this Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football. Colfax, I still got my Thursday Night Special going on. Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I'm trying to finish the month of October, I think, at 500. I got to go double check on that. Lost last week. I think I lost two in a row, if you can believe that. It's okay. We'll recover. You know, it's COVID. It's all that stuff. No, I lost... No, I didn't have an NFL game on the 15th. That's right, because of all the schedule. So I won on the 1st. I lost on the 8th. No NFL game. Then I lost last week. So this is my chance to get back to a 500 record in the month of October. So not too worried about it. September was 500. I'll be Mr. 500 for a while, and then I make my move. You know, I just kind of lie in the weeds until things really settle down, and then boom, I'm going to start predicting every single game right. We'll start tonight. This is going to be a slobber knocker. Falcons, Panthers, two bad teams. The Panthers are interesting, though. You know, I thought when McCaffrey is not going tonight, by the way. I thought when McCaffrey went down, the Panthers would really struggle. They kind of survived for a bit, but they've lost two in a row. So they're in that kind of must-win mode for them. And the Falcons are all but done. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. We'll also we're catching up with the voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs, Paul Leffler, getting the game preview from a Fresno State side of things. They are 0-1. They got beat by Hawaii last week. They're looking to get their first win of the season. They got a new head coach as well. So we'll talk about that and so much more in the second hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.